This is the Canty and Carlin podcast.
But has somebody new entered the fray for Lamar? It's Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You know where else you can find us? You can find us, as we said, on the ESPN app. If you scroll down to the bottom, look for live radio. You get that in there under the more category. And also on Sirius XM Channel 80 and on your smart speaker, Christopher Ursay Canty. Good afternoon.
Oh, please don't give me that middle name. That's terrible. Nah, I'm all about players getting guaranteed money, and Jim Ursay is on the opposite side of it. But, big fella, I feel like before we get into the meat of that conversation, we got to give a shout-out to our very own Christine Lisi for being able to pronounce the name of one of the bidders for the Washington Commanders, Steve Apostolopoulos.
Wow.
That is a mouthful.
I'll tell you what, that's impressive.
Looks like we're going to get another Stephen A. in the sports business.
I can't tell you how many times I've spent full 5 minutes before a game on a name and still screwed it up.
Yeah.
Still screwed it up.
How did I do in terms of the execution?
I thought you did outstanding. Okay. And listen, Christine Lisi, a pro's pro. That's
no
what
doubt.
She is. A
no
pro's
doubt.
Pro.
And the voice of reason on this show, by the way.
Oh, there's no question.
Anytime we have a dispute, a disagreement, we have to get her to chime in, and she's the tie-breaking vote.
Exactly. Yeah. And listen, most of the time she goes with me, and that's what makes sense. So
that's
listen,
not true.
Well,
that's just not true.
Truth doesn't matter anymore.
Kind of like that's why I call you the Aaron Rodgers of sports radio, because you come up with your own narratives, your own storylines, and then we're just supposed to go along with it. When in reality, we find out something different, like we found out with Packers GM Brian Gutekunst. But we got plenty of show to get to that part of the conversation.
I have always felt like the truth is something that you work with. It's Canty and Carlin.
The truth is something that has to be shaped and crafted.
Exactly. It massaged. It has to be molded. It's like a big piece of clay.
Yeah.
And I am sitting at that wheel as it's spinning, trying to make it work.
Can we get to the truth about the Lamar Jackson situation?
Of course.
But because it's sounding more and more like this has nothing to do with skill set and nothing to do with his injury. And quite frankly, nothing to do with his salary. This is all about the guaranteed money.
Absolutely. And here's what's amazing to me. That's been the assumption, that Lamar Jackson had to have a fully guaranteed contract. I don't think that's 100% reality. I don't believe that. I think there has to be a certain amount of the contract that needs to be guaranteed. But I don't necessarily believe it has to be 100%. And the latest to enter the fray yesterday were the Indianapolis Colts. And I say the latest, but really the first to publicly express real true interest in Lamar Jackson at this point were the Colts yesterday at the owners' meetings out in Arizona. Here's Chris Ballard, the GM. Quote, anytime a special player is available, which he is, you got to do the work. I'm not going to get into deep discussions on where it's at, what we're doing, or what we might do, but he's a really special player. You never know how any of this will work out. Follow that with exactly what you just said. This is from Jim Ursay, who was asked about fully guaranteed contracts. As an owner, I do not believe in fully guaranteed contracts. I believe that a percentage is one thing, but from what I've seen in the NBA and baseball, I don't see it as a positive competitively. You know what I see as a positive competitively? A great quarterback on your football team. And that's what the Colts have an opportunity to do here. Chris, I'm glad, at the very least, we've had somebody come out and admit that he's an amazing player, first of all, and they might have interest in him.
Well, yeah, and that's the biggest step in this conversation for me, because you had so many teams publicly come out as soon as the Ravens announced the franchise tag, the non-exclusive variety, and say that they were not interested in Lamar Jackson. Hell, we had one team, Carlin, in the Atlanta Falcons. They came out 15 minutes after the Ravens press conference to say, nope, we're all set. And this is a team that's been in quarterback hell with their new head coach in Arthur Smith. So I just didn't understand it. But now we're starting to get a little bit of truth in this conversation. And it's not a surprise, because you have all of the football minds, the general managers, the head coaches, and the owners in one place out in Arizona throughout the course of this week. And so you knew that some of this stuff was bound to come out, and the fact that the Colts didn't refute it, and knowing that they're in the business of finding a franchise quarterback, especially with the fourth overall pick, now we can start to see some movement on this front with potential other teams coming to the fray and being interested in Lamar's services. But I thought we got some truth serum from Jim Irsay in terms of exactly where he's at with the potential contract demands from Lamar Jackson. Now, another debate is whether or not Lamar is within his right to demand a fully guaranteed deal. I think that's an aside for the purposes of this conversation. What we have to do is sift through all of the nonsense that's been perpetuated out there when it comes to why Lamar is not getting a deal that he wants. It's clear based on Irsay's comments, it's not about his injury history. It's not about his ability. It's about not wanting to create the same dynamic with NFL players that we see in the NBA and in Major League Baseball.
Look, and for once, and it's amazing that Jim Irsay is continually the guy who, at the very least, spit out the truth.
He's honest. He's honest. Yeah. He's honest.
If you need to find out what owners are thinking, that is where you go. You find your way. You bulldoze people out of the way. You knock over his security if you have to, and you get answers from Jim Irsay because he doesn't give a damn at this point. And it's amazing. And I love him for that. I don't love him for the thought itself, but I love him knowing that when I go to him, I'm going to get something. But Canty, here's the thing. The idea that you would rather draft a crapshoot at number four than trade that pick and take a guarantee as to what a player is just mind-numbing to me. Because the Colts at number four can give up that pick, can give the Ravens an opportunity to draft a quarterback, but the Colts don't have to sit there and wonder. And I heard Adam Schefter talking about it this morning. You can pay him $200 million, or you can pay whoever the drafted quarterback is 34 over 5 years. Does it mean that my problem is solved? I'll do that. I'll pay the $200 million and I'll trade you the pick if that means my problem is solved for the long term. This is not the Jets trading for Aaron Rodgers at 39 years old. This is a 26-year-old superstar in his prime that would immediately make the Colts the favorites in the AFC South.
Well, big fella, I think this is where we find out how serious Lamar Jackson is about never playing for the Baltimore Ravens again. Because Jim Irsay is letting it be known, hey, Lamar, what you're asking for from a salary standpoint ain't an issue for us. That's not the problem. Your injury history ain't an issue for us. Your ability ain't an issue for us. But you know what is? This fully guaranteed contract business. We don't want to go down that road. But if you're willing to put that aside or to, you know, not, I guess, insist on having that kind of framework, then there's a conversation to be had because we would love to have a quarterback like you, especially with the head coach that we just hired. Look at the success Shane Steichen had with a mobile quarterback in Philadelphia and Jalen Hurts. The Eagles didn't know whether they were coming or going with their quarterback situation. It's why Howie Roseman traded back in last year's draft to acquire a first-round pick in 2023 because he wasn't sure that Jalen Hurts was the guy and he wanted to have the draft capital so he could be agile and move up and down the board based on what quarterbacks were coming out and where he'd had to get to. But the fact that Shane Steichen was able to transform that offense midstream in 2021, and then they were able to build on it in 2022 to the point where Jalen Hurts was a runner-up for the MVP, why would you think that a quarterback of Lamar's talent would not be successful in that same system? Of course he would be.
Of course.
Again, the money not being the issue, I just think that that's a big part of this. Now, we'll have to see what happens with the overall draft compensation and what they would be looking for if Baltimore would have to have the fourth overall pick involved. But I think the conversation starts with Lamar Jackson being willing to accept a deal that's not fully guaranteed. I think if he were to come off of that position, then a trade could be facilitated between the Colts and the Baltimore Ravens. But, big fella, I'm not sure that Lamar would have to come off of that if we start to see other quarterbacks get contract extensions or get further down the road in negotiation for contract extensions, because undoubtedly this is not going to be an issue that's unique to Lamar.
Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com.
who would be the interested bidders?
First of all, Lamar Jackson's a fantastic player, but you know, he would be disingenuous and operating, negotiating in bad faith if we went down that path.
If you're Indianapolis, are we all in running the style that we have seen Lamar run for the first 5 years of his NFL career that allowed him to be MVP of the NFL?
They said that he would be willing to take a non-fully guaranteed deal from somebody, whether that's Baltimore or anybody else.
So with that in mind, is there actually a way for the Ravens to still keep Lamar Jackson? We're going to get into how the other contracts coming up between Jalen Hurts and Justin Herbert affect this situation in a moment. But Canty, I want you to hear this sound this morning from Mike Tannenbaum on Get Up, ESPN NFL front office insider, on how the Ravens can keep Lamar.
I mean, there's a lot of players that are unhappy with their contracts, and you work really hard to try to work it out. And you have to be a great listener, and we got some really great former players here that I'm sure they weren't always happy when the T was crossed and the I was dotted. But let me give you guys a compromise here. Look at Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins signed a 3-year fully guaranteed deal. Maybe there's a compromise that we could figure out where it's not Deshaun Watson, but it's fully guaranteed. There's ways you can make him happy, and you just have to keep working the process and find some middle ground.
There ain't no middle ground. Lamar Jackson is leaps and bounds better than Kirk Cousins was when he was on his way out of Washington. So that's not even a fair comp. And even though Kirk got a fully guaranteed deal, albeit on a shorter term, Lamar Jackson shouldn't have to settle for that. Now, there was also the implication that Lamar Jackson would play on the franchise tag because it represents more money than he's made throughout the first 5 years of his career. That's absolutely ridiculous, big fella.
Yeah.
Why would I play for $32.5 million when I know I could get upwards of $200 million in guarantees? Why would I do that?
Chris, Lamar Jackson and Geno Smith.
Yeah, in the words of Brian Windhorst, why would they do that? Why would they do that? Like, there's no reason that Lamar Jackson would do that. To jeopardize $200 million to make 30 and risk injury without having any financial guarantees beyond 2023, that's just penny wise and pound foolish. That's idiotic. You wouldn't do it. So I get tired of people suggesting that because Lamar Jackson hasn't made more than $32 million in his career that he should absolutely play on the franchise tag. That's ridiculous. That's not smart. That's not being business savvy. So I think it behooves Lamar to continue to wait, but also to keep as many options on the table. Now, I will say this, with the Colts taking their stance and Chris Ballard saying what he said yesterday, if you're Lamar, I think you can be, I don't know if the right word is entitled, but I would say he can be more staunch in his position when it comes to not wanting to play for the Baltimore Ravens again.
Yeah, absolutely. And if that's how he feels, it's been 25 months, as Jamison Hensley, who covers the Ravens for ESPN NFL Nation, pointed out to us yesterday. 25 months, more than 2 years, where they've had every opportunity to try to get this done, and they haven't. So for me, if I'm Lamar, I gave you more than a chance. I gave you more than a chance.
Yeah.
And it's time to go somewhere else. I don't think by any stretch, and I understood this maybe 3-4 weeks ago, now I can't. The idea that you're going to sign the franchise tag and go play for another year because you just haven't made that much before, that's why the Geno Smith contract was kind of neat for him, right? Mm-hmm. Because his contract was paying him basically twice to three times as much as he had ever made in his entire career because he's a nice story. Mm-hmm. Geno Smith's not Lamar Jackson. That's not what this is. And I think it's silly to suggest otherwise at this point. What I'm really curious about, Canty, there's the other contracts with these quarterbacks that are coming up, whether it's Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow. I'm particularly interested in Jalen Hurts and the Eagles because it sounds like the Eagles are really working hard to try to get that done based on what we heard yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
What does that contract look like? And if it gets done before Lamar's does Jalen Hurts get $200 million guaranteed? He might.
Well, I know Nicole Lynn from Clutch Sports is going to push for it. I also know that the contract negotiations between the Chargers and Justin Herbert have kicked off because the Chargers told us as much earlier on in the week during the owners' meetings. They said that those conversations are ongoing, albeit very preliminary. Here's the thing. If you're those quarterbacks, and specifically I want to zoom in on Justin Herbert, because Justin Herbert is represented by Athletes First. Now, I believe his agent is David Dunn, different from David Mulligetta, who did Deshaun Watson's deal, but David Mulligetta is also with Athletes First. Do you think for a second that Justin Herbert's representation, his agent, isn't going to push the Spanos family for a fully guaranteed extension? You'd be out of your mind to think otherwise. And that's why I think it's highly unlikely that we don't see movement on the quarterbacks getting guaranteed contracts or very close to fully guaranteed contracts this offseason. You got Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, all out there eligible for contract extensions. And those are all top six or seven quarterbacks in the league. The future face of the National Football League, those three guys.
Yep.
There's no way that those teams want to wait to do the deal because it only gets more expensive when the increase in the salary cap. So it behooves those teams to get a deal done now. But in order to make the players move closer to where you want and get the deal done on your timeline, you've got to offer them a carrot. There's got to be some type of incentive. The incentive is make the deal fully guaranteed or damn near close to it. All of this is why I think it's smart for Lamar Jackson to continue to sit back and let all of this unfold. Let it evolve, see what happens. But I think there's the potential for Lamar to get what he wants or damn near close to it if he's just a little more patient.
I know he hasn't won the MVP, but I'm even more intrigued by the Hurts deal because they're exceptionally similar in what they are.
Mm.
Exceptionally similar. So I want to know if the way that Jalen Hurts plays and the fact that he got banged up late in the year is going to have a big effect on what his contract is. Guess what? The answer is no.
But we know the answer to that already.
I know, but I want to see it to prove the point. I want to see it to prove the point that it's absolutely absurd for that to have even been an argument to begin with. I fully believe Jalen Hurts gets at least upwards of 190 guaranteed. At least.
Well, Kyler Murray already got 190 guaranteed.
Well, then 200. Let's put
it. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Kyler Murray already got that. So there's no question in my mind you're talking about the guaranteed portion of the deal being north of 200. And if you're Lamar, that's where you want to be. My guarantees have to be north of 200. And it's not just for injury. It's guaranteed for skill, too. Because they like to float out that guaranteed part when it comes to guaranteed for injury. Forget about that. Guaranteed for skill, meaning that even if you decide to cut me, you have to pay me this money.
Yep.
That's what Lamar is looking for. So that's what it needs to be. Now, it's clear he doesn't want that from the Ravens. That relationship is fractured. But is that money out there with another team? Quite possibly.
So the question to you is this. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. With the Colts in particular, and indicating interest last night, should the Colts draft a quarterback at number four, or should they trade the pick and try to get Lamar Jackson? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We want to hear from you on the lines. Did a great job yesterday. We're going to hear from you throughout the course of the day. We have got all the news from the owners' meetings as it happens. That is all on the way. But in just moments, speaking of drafting a quarterback at number four, just how much of a crapshoot is it for Indianapolis? Next, we have the man. There is one man who you want to know that from, and he is going to join us in moments. Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio.
This is the Canty and Carlin Podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It really is going to be very interesting to see what the Colts opt to do and what the chances are that they draft a quarterback as opposed to going and making a trade to go get Lamar Jackson. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's hit a couple of these calls. Jake is up first in Kentucky on ESPN Radio. Jake, what's up, brother? What do you got?
No, I just... I wonder if an owner known to be brazen with his comments, while at the owners' meetings, hasn't come out and said something on behalf of the group and sort of set an expectation while the Eagles and Bengals and Chargers are getting ready to make contract offers, and many of their agents are there to these guys that we think the Browns made a poor decision. We don't want that to be our business model, and you know, trying to temper expectations so that not every top-flight quarterback, and as an aside, I almost think it's a bad thing that Deshaun Watson was the first person to get this long-term.
I hear what he's saying in terms of the off-field bags that Deshaun Watson has, the character. I get it. It seems a little sketchy. He's not the shining example of what we want the NFL and its players to be about. But at the same time, big fella, I'm all about players getting guaranteed money because I know how dangerous this game is. It wasn't that long ago that we were all watching with bated breath and sending out thoughts and prayers to Damar Hamlin for what we saw on Monday Night Football between the Bengals and the Bills. You are putting your life on the line every time you step foot on a football field. And so I want these players to get as much money as they possibly can because you know who's making more money than the players? The guys that are signing the checks. And those dudes ain't taking no risks. They're just not.
Yeah.
The NFL, if you're looking at what's going on with the Washington Commanders, you're talking about two ownership groups putting together fully financed $6 billion bids to buy the team. The value of NFL clubs has never been greater because of the demand of the entertainment product. So I don't feel bad for the owners. I want the players to get as much money as they possibly can. And in this situation, I don't fault Lamar Jackson for shooting his shot.
No, I don't either. I'm annoyed. Is it wrong to be annoyed that the guy that caused the problem to begin with is Deshaun Watson? Not, I shouldn't even say the problem for the owners. Like, it's not Lamar Jackson's fault that one owner went up against the entire belief system, what the rest of the group was. Okay, he screwed it up for you. That's not Lamar's fault.
No. It's not. But he just didn't screw it up for the Baltimore Ravens. He screwed it up for the Chargers. He screwed it up for the Bengals. He screwed it up for the Eagles. And anybody else that has a young quarterback that has the ability to be an MVP.
Let's hit Levi in Nevada up next on ESPN Radio. Levi, what's going on?
Yeah, man, I was just saying, I mean, why would you pay a man who only plays 12 games a year? I understand the kid's good, but if an electrician went to your house and he didn't finish the job, would you pay him fully guaranteed?
Let me ask you something. Do you know how many other quarterbacks who are stars in the league or who are centerpieces in the league have played less than Lamar Jackson? The answer is plenty. The answer is five and six of them. So the idea that it's about injury and all that, that's fine.
And how many of them are getting fully guaranteed?
They're getting a lot of money guaranteed. It doesn't mean Lamar has to get that, but it means that Lamar is absolutely worth $200 million if you're gonna hand $230 million to Deshaun Watson, who basically couldn't control himself. I was going to put it in a much more crude way until I thought better of it, and missed a year and a half, a year and three quarters because of it. That guy's worth fully guaranteed, but this guy won an MVP and has done nothing but handle himself the right way. He doesn't.
Yeah, I don't understand the argument that you're trying to make.
There's
not an argument. Lamar Jackson didn't miss any games his first 3 years in the National Football League. He won an MVP, and he won a road playoff game. That's when he was first eligible for a contract extension, and the Ravens didn't give it to him. Now, the same quarterback in his draft class, Josh Allen, was given a contract extension after his third year by the Buffalo Bills. That's the part of it that doesn't make sense to me. Everybody wants to point to him missing the end of the last two seasons, but nobody wants to talk about why the Ravens didn't play him after the first three seasons. There's no argument to be made. They should have paid him, and they chose not to, and now they have to deal with the precedent of the Deshaun Watson contract, which they don't like. Well, if you wanted to avoid that, all you had to do was pay him when the Buffalo Bills paid Josh Allen.
It's not that hard, and there's one side that is responsible for being in this position. Benny, in the Bronx, New York, next on ESPN Radio. Benny, what do you think, bud?
Hey, guys, big fan of the show, first-time caller. First off, the last guy that spoke, hey, Lamar did that twice. Without a contract extension, a full season. This past season, and got injured. So, yes, if Lamar decides to sit out, good on him. Two, please follow me on this. Why aren't the New York Jets getting on the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes? This reminds me of that movie Gone in 60 Seconds with Nicolas Cage, where he had to steal that 67 Shelby Mustang. That's who Aaron Rodgers is. If I was the Jets, I would get on Lamar Jackson, that pre-owned, pre-certified BMW that is going to hold its value for 10 years. Like, that boggles me.
Listen, I couldn't agree with you more. Unfortunately, you heard from Joe Douglas himself yesterday. They're too far down the road. They're not going to bail on it right now. Now, yep. I hope Joe's not telling us the truth. I hope he is knocking on the door for it, but I don't think he is, because God forbid we ever upset the genius Aaron Rodgers. God forbid.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you brought up Aaron Rodgers' name, because the caller that chimed in and said, who's getting the contracts fully guaranteed? You know, that's an upper echelon quarterback that's missed the kind of time that Lamar has missed in a five-year span. Well, that quarterback is Aaron Rodgers. Carlin, if you go back to Aaron Rodgers' career from 2013 to 2017, it's a five-year span. He played three complete seasons, but then there are also two seasons in there in which he didn't play double-digit games. So he missed a total of 16 games, which is a full season. Now, over the last 2 years, Lamar Jackson has missed 10 games total. So I just, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Aaron Rodgers is on a three-year contract that is fully guaranteed. So that's what we're talking about. Other quarterbacks that have an injury history that are still viewed as upper echelon talents get paid the kind of money they get paid. They have an opportunity to dictate what their football futures look like and who they want to play for. Lamar Jackson is not being afforded that same opportunity with the Baltimore Ravens. And because they are treating him differently, you're seeing a relationship that's now fractured to the point where it's irreparable.
Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Canty, in just moments, there was just an absolute travesty last night that might have cost somebody the MVP.
This is the Canty and Carlin Podcast.
Joel Embiid lost the MVP last night, can't he? I mean, come on. The more I think about it, the more aggravated I am that he did not play in that game against the Nuggets and Nikola Jokic. The guy he is going head-to-head for, basically, right now, for the MVP, and yet somehow he plays in back-to-back games over the weekend, and that leaves him unavailable for last night. Why is Embiid not saying to Doc, with a plan that I am sure they have discussed, and I am sure that Embiid knows who he's playing Monday night, said, why don't I sit out on Saturday so that I can go on Monday? It's important for me to go on Monday.
Well, the player's not going to say that. That's why it's up to the coach to protect the player from himself, because Joel is going to go out there every single time because he wants to be there for his teammates, but he also wants to win the MVP. And we know that it matters to him because we saw him get choked up at the end of last year and ask the question to the media, what else I got to do?
That's
what else I
got to
do? I led the league in scoring last year. What else I got to do? Well, he's not only leading the league in scoring this year, but he's upped his game. He's averaging over 33 points a game, and he's had, count them, 27 games where he scored 35 points or more. The last two centers to do that, Moses Malone, Shaquille O'Neal, both of those guys won MVPs. So all I'm simply saying is this. If you're Doc Rivers, knowing how much it means to your guy, after he drops a 46-piece nugget on the Golden State Warriors Friday night, maybe you think about sitting him Saturday against the Suns so he can be there for a matchup on Monday night against the other guy that is favored to win the MVP. I don't understand how you can be that tone deaf, that have that lack of awareness as a head coach. You got to understand what makes your players tick, and you got to make sure that you're there for your players. And I feel like Doc Rivers dropped the ball on both by deciding to play Joel in back-to-backs and then sit him for the game where he's head-to-head against Jokic.
But how does Embiid not take any of the hit here? I mean, Embiid's the one who's out there for the last several weeks. Right? First of all, I've heard him complain about it enough over the last couple of years, and I felt for him, and I love Joel Embiid as a player. But knowing when that game is, you're Joel Embiid. Doc, I'm playing tonight. Doc, I'm playing tonight. He has taken virtually direct shots at Jokic the last couple of weeks, and then you don't show up and play for the game?
Well, he's not healthy, but he's not healthy, though, Carlin. That's the other part that you're glossing over. It's not as if Joel Embiid is 100%.
Canty, am I going to see Joel Embiid tomorrow night?
You're probably going to see him tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You're talking about having three nights off. But he hasn't played in 3 nights.
They know what the plan is. At some point, you have to speak up. If you're Embiid, Doc, we have a plan leading into this. If Doc's plan all along was, let's not play on Monday night, Embiid knows he's going to catch heat over that.
I can't blame the player in that situation.
Oh, come on.
I can't blame the player. I cannot blame
the player. All the player has to do is say, Doc,
I can't blame the player
when
he's dealing with the injury. I cannot do that. I'm not going to do that. You can blame him. I'm not going to blame him. Because if he goes out there knowing that he's dealing with an injury and the coach thinks that there's a better plan to satisfy a team-first agenda, and you go out there with the motivation of just wanting to go head-to-head against Jokic for the sole purposes of an individual award, that's not going to fly in the locker room. And if something happens, God forbid, to Embiid, the season is over with. So all I'm simply saying is this. If you're Doc Rivers, protecting the player from himself means understanding that the player has an individual goal that's important to him, and there's a way that we can juggle this where it doesn't compromise our team goals as well. And the way to do that was to sit him on the second night of a back-to-back, which would a lot of teams do with their superstar players, especially right down the stretch, in order to make sure that he's ready to go for a consequential game against the other guy that's favored to win the MVP.
So Embiid has no say in this whatsoever.
No.
It's all data.
No.
I don't buy that for a second because they talk all the time about sitting down and working out a plan.
No.
And that plan in advance should have been, you're not playing Saturday, you're playing Monday.
You're not plan for him to win MVP. That's not what you're going
but it's
your
not even just
to
that.
Talk about.
It's not even just that. Are we going to play him 3 out of 4 games on the road? Why not sit him in the game where he's got the back-to-back as opposed to the other games where he's got days
you
off in between?
You realize the player doesn't make that call, and the player shouldn't make that call.
If Embiid
especially
up,
when the player's health is compromised. I completely disagree with you.
I can't sit here and get nuts about the health of the player when I'm going to see him tomorrow night and I saw him in back-to-back games.
Well, he shouldn't have played in back-to-back games. That's my point. He wasn't healthy to start with. He shouldn't have played in back-to-back games.
Canty, I think we're circling the same thing. We both don't think he should have played on Saturday night.
Yeah.
You want to pin it on Doc,
but
I'm not going to absolve Embiid here completely.
He did play on that night because Doc wanted him to play on
that
night.
We agree that he shouldn't have and that
he
should have
played
last night.
But Doc wanted him out there. And then Doc said, no, we're going to sit him on Monday night. That should be directed at the head coach. The player doesn't have any say in that.
The player should have say in it because every time I hear about this stuff, I hear about we sit down, we talk about a plan with guys who are injured like this or guys who are trying to get ready for the postseason. Players
get far too much criticism for organizational decisions when it comes to load management.
Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio. Up next, should Bill Belichick legit be on the hot seat?
Thanks for listening to the Canty and Carlin podcast. You can listen to the show live weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can listen on the ESPN app. Canty and Carlin, the podcast.